A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome to the show, everyone. I'm your host, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. All right, sometimes I wonder, people are just driving or sitting at home listening to the podcast, whatever. Hey, I'm waving to you. Hope you're waving back. Hope you have a good day, and hope the show is as good as every day I do. Charlie, who helps run the chat portion of the room while we're on the air, he and I pray before every show, and we ask for blessing, and blessing upon the people as well. So hope you feel blessed. Anyway, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. You can ask any question you want. Why don't we just jump on those lines? So let's get to Harry from Kentucky. Harry, welcome. You are on the air.
Thank you, Matt, for taking my call.
Sure.
Tribulation is the topic.
Okay.
We are in the tribulation right now.
No, I don't think so.
Well, the reason I say that is, I think I sent you an email about this. The solar eclipse cut across the United States in 2017 in August, right? You remember that?
Yeah, I went out and saw it and camped out and watched it. Got to be right in the path.
Really?
It was great. Oh, yeah. It was awesome. Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's another one coming in 24, which is a 7-year gap.
Okay.
We're looking for a 7.5-year gap. Are you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but that
is
would
that
be
correct
that,
for the tribulation.
But tribulation would be the mark of the halfway point. Would be the Antichrist reveals himself in the rebuilt Temple of Jerusalem, and the temple there is not rebuilt. So it doesn't work.
The temple is the White House, because that's what was rebuilt after the
temple.
Destruction.
So would you say that Trump is the Antichrist? Is that what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't say he's the Antichrist.
Okay. No?
But you have to look at that 7-year gap there.
So the solar eclipses... So you're saying the solar eclipses, which happen to be 7 years apart, is it 7 years to the day or just 7 years?
Yeah.
Is it 7 years to the day
exactly.
or is it seven years by month? Or, do you know?
It's 7-year gap there.
Is it to the day?
Is what? You can't say day or...
Is it 7 years?
I don't know the days. You can't do that. No one knows the day or the hour.
No, that's a refresh chart.
So we're not spending any day or hour.
No. I asked, is it 7 years to the day that the eclipses happen apart? Do you know?
Not quite. I don't believe. It's not exact.
All right. And so the White House is the rebuilt temple.
What's the most powerful position on this planet?
My wife, she can tell me what to do.
Okay, I know that's your wife. She depends on you, and you.
But I'm curious. Why do you say the White House is the
because the Oval Office is the most powerful position on this earth. The earth is an oval. You know that, right?
No, it's an oblate spheroid. It's not an oval. It's an oblate spheroid.
Because of the 1,000-mile rotation.
No.
Causes the equator to swell out.
Yeah, that's called an oblate spheroid. That's right. It's not an oval.
Okay. I don't know about that definition, but
that's what it is.
If you look at if you see a picture, it looks like an oval.
If you're a flat earther looking at it sideways, then it's an oval. Okay. And flat earth, no, that's false. And an oval is false, but we are an oblate spheroid. Yeah. So I'm curious. So you say then that the White House is the
that's,
rebuild.
That's what was rebuilt. Yeah,
but it says it'll,
you have to look at it from that aspect.
But it says it's going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem.
Well, what you do, you know, I went through all of this on the discussion page and got made fun of unbelievably. You know, I put
well,
in there the migration,
okay, so then,
the history.
So let me ask you then.
Channel.
Let me ask you. So who's the Antichrist then? Would that be Biden?
Oh.
No,
it won't be Biden.
AOC? Who? I don't know. Who would it be?
Who would it be? I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know what's going to happen at, you know, at this point. But the world has never been like this. Is that true?
Well, I don't know.
Everything is.
I don't know. I don't know. You know how we measure that, but. But at any rate, I think that you probably need to do some more serious study in the Word of God. That's what I would suggest. I really would suggest
okay,
that.
Okay,
because
we
I don't
know
think,
that the woman, which is the church, correct, was carried away on the wing of a great eagle. What represents the United States?
A woman?
Huh? The eagle.
Okay.
He was carried over here. See, I put this on the discussion page. And the migration of the people that came from the European area over there, over here, the History Channel had a real nice website about that. So this guy gets on there and deletes that in his quote about me.
About
it was
you?
Real important. You follow the people, not the physical location. The people are the ones that are going to do whatever's
right.
going to happen.
Well, I tell you what.
That, right? The people.
I tell you what. We don't have any callers waiting, which is why I've kept you on, because it's rather interesting. But I think we're going to move along and invite callers to call in. I would suggest that you study the scriptures because I don't think you have a very good grasp of them. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Unless you got anything else you want to say, because there's nobody waiting. I mean, this to me, this is kind of interesting, but, you know, do you know who the false prophet would be? The beast?
Well, I would tell you it's Pence.
I'm sorry, what?
Because Pence got on there and addressed all of the churches.
Pence?
Yeah, Mike Pence.
So, well, Vice President Pence, so he's the beast?
No. As soon as it says the beast, when the beast has seven heads and upon his head, that's referring to the beast as this country is the beast.
The beast is this country.
And it says, in God we trust. And you've already said, I've heard you on the program say they've turned their back on God.
Yeah, we're an anti-Christian nation. Yeah, I would say that.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Yeah.
That's what's going on now.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I know what you're saying. It's hard to believe that this could be happening now.
Well, let's just say
see, what I've looked at is you follow the people and not the physical location. The people are the ones that are going to do everything.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Do you understand that aspect of looking at it?
Well, let's just say that I don't think you have a good grasp of the eschatological issues. Okay? Let's just say that.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So
you... I understand...
Okay.
You know, your outlook, I understand that. But the thing is, the 7-year period is so funny that would show up at this point in time. When the first one cut through, you had hate on one side,
I tell you
love
what,
on the other.
We're going to...
Okay, go ahead.
I think we're going to go, but you know, I do appreciate your call. It was different. It was interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. Well, thanks a lot, Harry.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Well, that was Harry from Kentucky. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? All right, let's get on the line with whoever this is. You are on the air. So what's your name? Are you there?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
My name is... Are you talking to
Yes,
me?
I'm talking to you. Yes, I am. Okay, it's all right.
That was so quick. My name is Serene. I live in Utah.
Okay.
And I have a question about Genesis chapter 18.
Genesis 18, all right. The angels.
If God is a spirit and no man can see him or talk to him and live, how did Abraham have a visit from God and two angels and eat and drink with them and converse for hours?
Sure, no problem. Yes, what you're quoting is several verses. You're going to John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time. You're also going to Exodus 33:20, you cannot see my face for no man can see me and live. Or Exodus 33:11. But in Genesis 17:1 and in 18:1, the Lord appeared to Abraham. It's Yahweh. So what's going on? Well, the answer is found in the revelation of the New Testament, where it says that Jesus says in John 6:46 that no man has seen the Father at any time. So that's who they're talking about. They've not seen the Father. And Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:16, he says that the Father, speaking of the Father, he dwells in unapproachable light whom no man has seen nor can see. Cannot be seen. Which, since you're in Utah, that verse right there proves Mormonism is false. That one verse, the Father dwells in unapproachable light whom no man has seen nor can see. Joseph Smith never saw the Father. First vision thing. But that's basically it. That's a short version. I can go through other verses. I can go to John 1:18 and analyze it and put it in context. And Exodus 33:11, 33:20, Exodus 6, 2 through 3, Exodus 24, 9 through 11, Numbers 12, 6 through 8. These are verses I've known for decades about whether or not God is seen.
But I'm confused. Why? Who is he talking to, Abraham, in Genesis 18?
Pre-incarnate Christ. Okay, whenever the Lord appears.
Pre-mortal Christ, without a body, came down and ate and drank.
Are you, let me ask you, are you a Mormon?
Oh, years ago. No.
Years ago. Could you use the phrase premortal, as in premortal existence?
Well, that would be Christ's existence before he came to this earth. He would have not been born yet at the time Abraham saw him, but you're telling me he's eating and drinking with Abraham. Is that correct?
Yes. Whenever we see God in the Old Testament in a physical form, it's the pre-incarnate Jesus. We have a break coming up. Do you want to hold on? Or are you that good? You're going to hold her? Okay. Okay, we'll put you on hold. And folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. And if you, by any chance, saw me online with Sam Shimon talking about justification by faith, sola fide, if you saw that, you want to call in, make some comments, that might be interesting. I think it might be interesting to hear. Anyway, let's get back on the line here with, I forgot your name, from Utah. Are you still there?
Charlene,
thank you. Oh, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that name too. So did I answer your question?
Well, when God said, I made man in my own image, is he talking about a spirit he made? Is he spirit? Or what image? And who are us?
Well, the image.
Man in our own image.
Yeah, God is not does not have flesh and bones. Jesus says so in Luke 24:39. You know, His spirit does not have flesh
right.
and bones, as you see I have. And He says God is spirit, John 4:24. So when we talk about being made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, it's in what we call the communicable attributes. It's just a big theological term that means that God can love, we can love. He can hate, we can hate. He can reason, we can reason. And we're made in His image.
Oh,
He's self-aware,
okay.
We're self-aware. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a physical image, mm-hmm. as Mormons would teach, that God's 6 feet tall. And I'm 6 feet tall. And so I say to people when I'm talking about it, well, look, I'm as tall as God. So, you know, it's just, you know, Mormonism, of course, you came out of it.
And
right,
when
you said,
He says make us,
us, the Trinitarian communion, right, right. That's what it is, the Trinitarian communion. Let us go down and confound our language, Genesis 11:7, and Luke, excuse me, Isaiah 44:20.
So we're saying, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes, the one God who is a Trinity, not three gods, as Mormonism
right,
teaches.
Right, that would be the us that He's talking right. about.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Matt. I appreciate you and your show. God bless you.
Well, God bless you, too. God bless. Nice talking to you, Charlene. All right.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get on the line with Chris from Raleigh, North Carolina. Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Appreciate you taking my call. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Great. I got, I'm in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading from the NIV, but it says, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. Let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. And then verse 16, it says, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. So my question is, in this particular verse, the author is talking about two great lights. But as we've been taught, I guess, in school, the sun is the light and the moon is reflecting the sun. So I just wanted to know your thoughts on the two great lights here in this passage.
Well, would you say that the moon is a light?
I would, I guess, because when I measure the mm-hmm. moonlight with a thermometer, I actually get a different reading of its light versus its shadow at night, which I find quite interesting. The moon actually gives off a colder light, I guess.
Yeah, it's reflective, obviously. But it's just from the human perspective that that's what Genesis is written from the perspective of looking from the earth outward. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day and the night. And so God made two great lights, the one to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. And then He also made the stars. Yeah, it's no problem there.
But if I walked into a room and there were two lights, I would say there's two lights in this room. I wouldn't say there was two lights because one reflected off of a window or one reflected off of the other. It sounds more like the author is describing two separate things, and I didn't know the Hebrew language there, if there's any clues as to why it's written that way.
I don't understand what the problem is. It's just the moon is the lesser light. That's all. It's just speaking from the perspective of observation from the earth. That's all it's doing.
But it seems like it's describing a unique thing, though, meaning the moon produces its own light. So the sun produces a warm, radiant light. We would both agree to that. But it also appears that the moon produces a cold light, if you will, that's measurably, you know, different than the sunlight.
Let me ask you, are you a flat earther?
I tend to I tend to follow biblical cosmology.
Okay, so let me ask you another question. Are you a flat earther?
What does that mean?
Do you know what it means?
Like the earth is stationary? I mean, I do believe the earth to be stationary. I don't believe it to be moving, and I believe all throughout Scripture it does say that the earth is stationary. It's fixed on pillars, that it shall not be moved. Okay. And I do believe in Joshua, where it says that...
Okay, so it's on pillars?
The sun and the moon stayed still.
Okay, so correct. The earth is on pillars. What are the pillars on?
Correct.
What are those pillars on?
That is a great question. That's a great question.
Well, the Bible talks about
doesn't Scripture also say that no man can measure the... no man can measure the earth nor the heavens? So we really don't...
Well, hold on,
don't
hold,
know.
Hold on, hold on,
I mean,
hold on. Hold on.
Or,
wait, hold on.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like you're a flat earth adherent. So you don't know what the pillars are, but is the earth round or is it a square? Is it a disc that's round or is it a square?
Well, I would say that if you look at Scripture, I believe it says that God inscribed the face of the earth like a clay seal. Right?
Okay, what I'm doing is I'm asking questions and I don't get direct answers. And so that's always a frustration for me.
Okay.
Do you believe the earth is a disc?
Okay.
Do you believe the earth is a disc or do you believe it's a square?
It can be both, actually. I think it's more like a footstool. When Scripture says that the earth is God's footstool.
Wait, hold on. If it's a square, it cannot be a round disc. It's impossible. It can't be both. You can't have a round disc with corners. So,
I'd say neither. I guess not to be boxed in. I would say let's say you had a square footstool with four pillars, right? You have a square footstool, and you set a circle tray, a dining tray, on that footstool.
All right.
Then you have a circular earth.
I got you. I got you. And the four pillars. So, do you believe gravity exists, by any chance?
Well, I believe that objects can go up or down based on buoyancy and density. So, for example...
Well, no, stop. I understand what you're saying. You're not here to teach all this. I'm asking you questions, okay? Hold on for after the break, all right? Because,
I'd love to continue. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is, I have some friends that are, you know, King James. They lean toward the King James, and some of them are King James only. And one of their arguments is, that the new translations take from the Greek Septuagint, and they say it has been corrupted, and that the King James is only taken from the Masoretic text, and they don't believe that the Greek Septuagint is as old as people say it is. And I just wanted your take on that. I read the New American Standard Bible. I was raised King James only, but I'm just wanting to clarify this.
Well, believe it or not, some of the New Testament writers quoted the Septuagint. And so the King James only people have a major problem when they are faced with that. So you can go on to CARM, and we have a King James only version. I didn't write it. One of our other staff members did, Luke Wayne, great guy. And he's in Salt Lake City, and he put a lot of time into it. He knows the topic well. So maybe if he's listening, as he often listens, he could call up and then talk about the issue of the Septuagint and the Masoretic text and stuff like that. You know, if he does, he'll call in, and I'll put him on right away. But So when the King James only people talk about this, it's their opinion. And you can say, well, you're welcome to your opinion. Do you have any historical fact that can back this up and state that this is the case? And you'll find that there's differences of opinions on which train of manuscript evidence is the best one. And so I prefer the NASB, and I prefer its translation. I think the King James is great, but it's got some problems. There have been older manuscripts found since the King James was translated, older and better manuscripts. And so the King James can be corrected. But nevertheless, back to the Septuagint. There's also different versions of the Septuagint. So I'll have to ask them, well, which version is it that you are complaining against? And if the Septuagint is really bad, why were the apostles quoting it here and there? And they did. Okay.
Right, so the Septuagint does date back, I think, about 250 years before Christ.
That's correct. A translation of the Hebrew Bible into the Greek of the time. And it's called the Septuagint. All right, folks, I'm back on the air. Sorry about that. We had a very unusual computer problem, or, I don't know, internet problem. We have been having internet problems here in my area, at least at our house, recently. So I had to reboot the entire system. And I apologize for that. Let's get back on the phones. Let's see, with Chris from Raleigh, North Carolina. Chris, are you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah, no problem. I totally understand.
Yeah, I got a fast computer, and I was able to reboot everything pretty quickly, but I do not know what's going on. We've been having internet problems for a couple of weeks now. And we even have a new modem, so I don't know what's going on. Anyway, there you go. So where were we? I was asking you questions, and so I got a question for you. So do the galaxies rotate around the Earth? Is the Earth as a center point?
Well, what is interesting is that both the sun and the moon rise east to west, as does all of the stars and wandering stars. But what is kind of interesting about galaxies or stars is that when you look at Revelation...
Hold on. Wait. See, I always get annoyed when people just don't answer a question. Do the galaxies rotate around the Earth? It's either yes or no. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So then, are they far away, or are they on a canopy?
I would say they're inside the firmament.
Okay. So the sun and the moon are inside the firmament too, correct?
Correct. As in Genesis 1, correct.
Okay, so we can see the sun and the moon at the same time during the day on the flat Earth, right? Right?
During certain times, yes, you can.
Why can't we see the sun at night if the Earth is flat and it's a sphere giving off light? Why is it we can't see it if it's just a flat Earth?
For the same reason, if you were standing on a train track, you couldn't see a train that was 20 miles away from you.
There's a limit to your eyes' vision.
There's a limit.
No, that doesn't answer the question. You see, the moon and the flat Earth, the moon and the sun are roughly the same size, and they're equidistant above the Earth, and they rotate around each other. And, of course, there's a problem of why they don't fall to the Earth, but that's another issue. And so you can see both the sun and the moon during the day. Why can't you see both the sun and the moon during the night?
The Earth is too large. You'd have to be closer to the North Pole to see both during the summer in the Northern Hemisphere.
But we see, if it's too large, why do we see the sun and the moon at the same time during the day?
You don't always.
I know we don't always, but we do. So why do we see the sun and the moon during the day if they're the same size up there in the firmament and stuff?
Perception. You can only see so far. It's the same reason we can't see London.
Well, wait a minute.
The East Coast of North Carolina.
It doesn't make any sense. Okay, because if you have a round table and you put two balls of equal size, two softballs, like, you know, a couple feet above it, and the round table is the Earth, everybody there can see both during the day. They can see both, the sun and the moon, but then all of a sudden at night you can only see one. Why? If they're both up there just rotating around each other. Why?
Again, that's making an assumption that the sun would light the whole entire Earth, and that's not what we see.
Is the sun a sphere, or is it a flat disk also?
I don't know. That's an interesting one that I've wrestled with.
Is the moon flat disk, or is it round? You know, sphere.
Yeah, it could be. We've never seen the other side of it. That's the problem. We only ever see one side of the moon.
Okay.
We only see the light side, right?
Okay. All right.
Right?
So. So the sun that reflects.
I guess my question.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe to take it back to scripture. I mean, I just struggle where, in Revelation, it says all of the stars will fall from the sky and the heavens will be shaken like a fig tree. If the stars are burning galaxies and suns and, you know,
here's the problem you have. You have the same problem that annihilationists have. You conflate figurative with literal. You fail to understand that the figurative uses of things is what it is, figurative, and then you take it as literal sense and then draw new meaning. It wasn't intended. This is you're making a mistake. And so I would suggest you go to the CARM website and look up the Flat Earth article I've got there. And you might want to look up the issue of Polaris and the northern star, the southern star, the Crux, why they're different.
Mm-hmm.
You can look into the issue of the firmaments. I've written a lot on this. There's also the parallax effect. You know what the parallax effect is?
Yes, sir, I do.
Well, that would mean that the solar system is a lot bigger than just a little dome. I would just suggest you go check this out, okay? And because the Bible also says one more time. Go ahead. Joshua what?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 13.
What does it say? Yeah, Joshua 10, yeah.
Yes, sir. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nations avenged itself on its enemies.
Mm-hmm. And does that prove flat earth theory?
I think it clearly proves that both the sun and the moon are moving around the earth.
Okay.
I mean, I guess this is the problem I have. When do
we take things literally versus
metaphorically?
You're picking and choosing what you want to take literally and figurative in order to support your presupposition that the earth is flat on pillars and that the sun and the moon, which you don't have answers to on that, or the issue of Crux and Polaris, you go to the Bible, I understand, I'm glad that you want to do that, but what do you do about where it talks about the people at the ends of the earth? And, the Bible talks about that. They're people who live at the ends of the earth, okay? So, do you believe people are at the ends of the earth? Yeah.
I mean, we do have bases in Antarctica.
That was written Bible times. Okay, well, nice talking to you. Appreciate that. And folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get to Drew from Charlotte, North Carolina. Drew, you're on the air.
Yeah, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. Interesting day today so far. So what do you got, buddy?
So I have the focus is prayer.
Okay.
So I have this friend who... who I pray with from time to time, pretty consistently actually, because we cross paths quite a bit. And when he prays, He does a couple things. One, he changes in the prayer between like the Father or like Daddy to Holy Spirit. I bless you, Holy Spirit. To thank you, Jesus. So he'll go between one person of the Trinity and the other, right? Which is like, okay, like I can understand that to a certain degree. Even though Jesus does say, you know, pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. But so that's like the first thing that I'm like I don't know, why are you moving so much between perspectives or point of views? The second thing that really kind of like agitates my spirit a little bit is he'll pray directly to like the holy angels. And he'll say, thank you, holy angels, or we bless you, holy angels. Will you watch over my friend on the way home, and will you protect? And I don't know.
Obviously, that's heresy. You should not pray to any angels or anybody other than God. And you just tell them not to do that. Say, sorry, it's not in the Bible to pray to angels or Mary or the saints or your Aunt Martha in heaven. You don't pray to anybody but God.
Say that. Yeah, and that's my background. My background is Catholicism, and that's exactly what I thought about when I hear him doing it. I think it's like, well, this is the equivalent of praying to praying the Hail Mary or praying to Saint Nicholas or praying to your patron saint.
Right.
And it's just idolatry, how I see it, right?
Right, and it is. It's a form of idolatry, and he's in sin in that. He should repent of it. Okay. So just tell them, if you're going to be praying together, don't be praying to angels or you're not going to pray with them. I would not participate in anybody praying to anyone other than God because it's idolatrous. I'm not going to participate or encourage that.
Okay. Amen. That's all I need to hear, man. That's kind of what I've been sensing, so.
All right.
Yeah.
And the issue of we bless the Holy Spirit, I don't see that in Scripture where we bless God. So we bless his, we praise his name, and he blesses us. But anyway, so there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate
all right,
it, man.
Okay. God bless. Talk to you later.
All right. Later.
Okay. Let's get on the phone with David from Greensboro, North Carolina. David, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
Well, it's been an odd day today on the radio. So hanging in there.
Well, buddy, just be thankful you. Hopefully, you in air conditioner place, because man, we've been out here mowing all day, and oh my goodness, it's been a blistering hot day.
Well, tell you, when you're done there, can you come over to my house and do it? Because I hate mowing.
Brother, hey, I'll be there in just a little bit. You just hold on, and I'll be there.
There you go, and I'll give you some good iced tea, and I get my supervisor's cap, and I'll watch you.
Yes. Hey, that's good. Just as long as you got that iced tea, and you know. Hey, and, you know, keep that supervisor's cap on, because I have been known to miss a couple things.
Okay. All right.
Hey,
well, what do you got, buddy?
My question is, and I'm pretty sure you've had this question numerous of times. I was in church, and the pastor was talking about, Adam and Eve had a son, you know, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel, and Cain was sent in the land of Nod. Mm-hmm. And he met his wife there, and he didn't go no further. And which I've always known, you know, to Cain and Abel, and I'm sure they've had more children, Seth. But where did his wife come from? That's always been on my mind.
Okay, so Adam and Eve lived hundreds of years, and obviously, since they were created in God's image, and there was no, you know, they were the first ones to sin. They had really good genetics, and let's just say that most probably they were able to produce a lot of children. And so they had produced a lot of children, and the children would then marry each other, and then cousins and things like that. Remember, their genetics were very, very good then, and they didn't have genetic drift like we do now. And so they just did that, and over, it wouldn't take very long. A couple 300 years, and they could go out and have other settlements of people, because you can't have everybody be in one area and live on the land, because there's not enough resources for a large area. You have to spread out, and so people would spread out, and they would do that. And it doesn't say how long it was they were there either, how long it was before. It says, for example, it just says, the man had relations with his wife Eve and conceived and gave birth to Cain. Okay, so how long was that after the fall? Don't know. 100 you know, years?
That's it.
1 year?
That's right. I always thought that process, but I said, well, I'm going to call a man that knows a heck of a lot more than I know.
I don't know about that. But that's what the general answer is. It wasn't until later that God said no more of this interbreeding stuff because genetics and problems and things like that. At first, Adam and Eve had children. They would just marry each other. That's what they would have to do. No problem.
Yeah, well,
and they could probably have a lot of children.
You know? Well, that's true. That's true. Yep. Well, brother, you answered my question. Yep, that's true. I mean, you know, here's my thing. Once I get somebody that can break it down a whole lot better for me, it really starts making sense. You know what I mean?
Well, then this will help me also because when you get here to walk to mow my lawn, you can break it down for me and how to do it better than what I've been doing. So that'd be good. I'll take notes.
There you go, my brother. That sounds good.
Matt, buddy,
I appreciate talking to you. And now that I found you on the radio, I'll start giving when I have frequent questions, I'll start giving you a call back and. Because I usually have a lot of frequent questions when I'm on that mower. I get to thinking, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I'm out there mowing with my little push mower, my thousands of square feet of grass, and I got a bad back, so I'm just whining, complaining.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I do, but I'm born with it, but that's what it is. So I just try and push it out as much as I can and just get it done. And then come in, I'm all sweaty, been in the ocean. I'm all sweaty. I come to my wife, can I have a hug? And she runs. Doesn't run very well.
Well, are you in North Carolina or are you out of state?
I'm in Idaho.
I don't even know. Oh, man. Well, hey, I'm taking a trip here in about 2 weeks, and I'm going to be in, I'm going to Colorado, Wyoming. I may hit a little bit of Idaho there. That's what I'm thinking.
But we're on the west side of Idaho. And Idaho takes six or seven hours across on the southern part. It's a big state, so.
Well, if I can get my wife to say, look, let's just mosey on over to the west side because I got a mow match yard.
That's good. That sounds good, man.
Brother, it's been good to talk to you, and you have a blessed day, my friend, and we'll talk to you later.
You too, man. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was Dave from Greensboro, North Carolina. All right, let's get to Christian from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
My question is that I'm early in my walk with Christ. But here recently, I feel like I've been making big strides, and the Holy Spirit's really been turning over in my heart. And it just wants to flow out of me, but I want to make sure before I speak or if I start witnessing that I'm in correct position to do so. And if there was any advice you would have to witness to people and what are kind of the steps to make sure you're ready to do that?
You're ready when the circumstances are there and the Lord puts it on your heart.
Okay.
So look, I've been doing preaching, teaching, apologetics, evangelism for 40 years. Let's just say you and I were out witnessing together. You might have a tendency to want to let me do everything because I got all this experience.
Yes.
I would actually be thinking, this guy needs a talk, not me. I have too much in my head. And sometimes I go too far and give an answer that doesn't need to be given. Sometimes it's the simplicity of that new relationship with Christ. That's the best. And what I have to say is, trust God and go. He will give you the words that you need at the right time. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
No one's going to be ultimately perfectly ready, ever. Just ask God.
Yeah, there's always that doubt, but you know, there's something in me that just wants me to push me forward, and I feel like that's the Holy Spirit working on me.
It is. He is. He's working on you, because that's not a fleshly desire. It's a godly desire. Ask God to train you, to use you, and you'll find that when you witness, but when you're done, you wish you'd have said something better or different. And when that happens, welcome to the club. Okay?
Okay. That sounds good.
It's just what it is.
Do you mind if I squeeze in one more second question?
Sure, real fast.
I feel like with Christians today, they're so obsessed with the end times that they're mm-hmm. almost laying down and waiting for it to come.
Mm-hmm.
How justified is that? And is that why we're seeing the enemy rise up so strongly? Because we're so obsessed with wanting God to come back that we're not even standing up for him anymore.
See, what you just said was the wisdom of closeness to Christ in your heart as you see the world around you with those who are comfortable in their weakness as Christians. I'm with you on this. If you're a Christian, you should be supporting missionaries, supporting people, praying for people, or witnessing, do whatever you can, or living your life in such a way that the kingdom of God is to be expanded, whether it's being an honest mechanic, an honest doctor, an honest lawyer, to a mom raising children, or doing whatever. And I believe that the church is, in my opinion, the church is weak. It's anemic because it doesn't understand the Great Commission. The pastors and the elders across the board, not every one of them, a lot of them are really good, but a lot of them are not. They're preaching health and wealth, prosperity, idiocy, and pre-tribulation rapture. Don't worry about it. We're all going to get out of here, so don't worry about it. No, we are supposed to worry about it. We're to occupy until he comes. We're to work as hard as we can to get that gospel message out. And if I were a pastor again, that's what I would be preaching. And I'd be teaching it because that's what the Bible says.
And that's exactly what's been on my heart, because, you know, I look around and I'm just like, why is everyone laying down? We should be, you know, filled with the Spirit and, you know, setting the world ablaze mm-hmm. with the Holy Spirit. But it just feels like it's not happening. But
it's because they've taken their eyes off of Christ.
Yeah.
They've taken their eyes off of Christ and put on something else. And that's why they're lazy. I call it diaperinian theology. Feed me, take care of me. I'm not going to go out there and sacrifice and take risks for the gospel. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I really mm-hmm. appreciate it, Matt. That's very encouraging. You know, I could probably talk to you all night, but I know it's towards the end of the show, but I really appreciate all you've done. You've made a big difference in my life over these past 2 years of me listening to you.
Well, praise God, man. I just hope the Lord uses you. And we've only got about a minute left in the show, so I might as well end with you. But let me just tell you that when I was younger, I'm in my 60s now, I don't witness as much, but I used to go out to the beach. I used to go out to swap meets. I used to do stuff. And I didn't even have answers until I would open my mouth, take a breath, and then speak, and then the answers would come. You trust God, and you go, and you'll learn, and you'll see what he can do with you. All right, buddy?
All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. All right, folks. Sorry, Chris from Des Moines, Iowa, and James from Gastonia, North Carolina. Call back tomorrow and talk about those topics. Interesting stuff. May the Lord bless you. And by his grace, be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk again. See you.